This evening we're going to turn in God's Word to Judges, chapter 15. Judges, chapter 15. And we're going to read beginning at verse 14. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramath Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst, and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof Enhakkore, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This evening I want us to consider this portion as a whole and draw from it some conclusions for ourselves about the provision of our God. So this evening I'm calling our time together the jawbone, but really you might say, here is the provision of God seen. Before we go further, though, let's turn to the Lord in prayer and ask him to meet with us and to speak to us for Jesus' sake. Our Father and our God, we come to thee now in Jesus' name, thankful, O God, that we are gathered before thee, knowing that thou art that one who hath given this word, and thou art the one who hath promised that the word would be that which is used in the hearts of thy people, that it shall not return unto thee void, but it shall do a work. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt let the word of God now do its work. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt meet with us. We pray that thou wilt give us a sight of Christ. We pray that thou wilt cause us to have our faith fanned within us by the power of the Spirit of God, so that we might find ourselves being truly revived of God. Lord, bless this time. Help each heart. May each ear be that which is open to hear the voice of the Lord. And I pray that thou wilt then help me as thy servant. I pray that thou wilt direct my heart and my words, that all that is said will be truly that which is directed of the Lord. Bless this time and meet with us is our prayer, O God, this night. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There are many times that the people of God will be called upon to trust in the provision of God, even though that provision seems to be the most unlikely of helps. The book of Judges furnishes us a number of such instances. In Judges 3, we read of Shamgar, who delivered the people of Israel from their oppressors using an ox goad to slay 600 men. In Judges chapter 4, we read of Israel being delivered from the enemy by a woman named Jael, who undid the enemy with milk and a nail. In Judges chapter 6, we read of Gideon using 300 men with trumpets and lanterns to rout the host of Midian, who had spread themselves in the valley as sand of the sea for number. And again here in Judges chapter 15, we read of the great victory that was won by the man of strength using that instrument that must be seen as less than all the other tools that we had just mentioned to fight the enemy. Samson used the jawbone of a dead animal. It would seem that in each of the cases, the tool used was the least significant feature of the entire incident. However, I maintain that this is the exact opposite of the truth. The tool, particularly in this case of which we read tonight, spoke to the power of God to reap a victory using what the world would say was worthless and without power. Let it be noted that there was no man who could, because of any outstanding ability, reap a victory of the sort that Samson did using the weapon which he had. We have this incident, we have this picture as a lesson, and I say this is the lesson. What God provides as the tool for His people's deliverance is our help, no matter what any man may think of it. What God provides is for us our help. And I would suggest to you this evening, and I maintain that this picture of the jawbone in the hand of Samson is a picture of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation and God's tool for the needs of His people. A picture of the gospel. I want us to think on a few short points this evening as we consider this theme and see how it may apply even to us and to our own walk. The first thing I would point you to is Samson's situation. Samson's situation. Now, we may say that Samson's situation may have been singular and nothing at all like what you and I are facing during our own daily walk. His was a unique case. Well, yes, it was. The point, however, is this. Whatever the situation, the provision of God for you in the gospel is enough to bring you into that place of rest and comfort and victory. Period. What God provides, what God gives of His own hand, in whatever the situation may be, whether it is singular or whether it's something that's common, whether it is something that is distressing or whether it is something that is perplexing, it doesn't matter what the situation. That's not the issue here. The point is, what God has provided to you Himself with His hand is that which God means for you to see as your source of strength and comfort, no matter what the situation. But let's think a little bit about Samson's situation and see if it doesn't relate to us and sometimes those places where we find ourselves. I would point out to you that Samson's situation was a time of dire straits. It was a time of dire straits. You read of Samson being, well, he wasn't quite handcuffed, but he was the Old Testament version of being handcuffed. He was bound by the Philistines, and they were going to reap their judgment upon him as they saw fit. And of course, then you read that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and those things that bound him became nothing. And he pulled them apart and then saw the jawbone. And he takes it and begins to do a mighty work. I would point out to you that Samson's situation was a time of real danger. And I would say for him, and I say for us, sometimes we think that when we read this, the moments that are described in Scripture, that those things are almost theory. They don't come down where life is real. Let me tell you what. The incident in which Samson found himself was a time of real danger. It was life up close and personal. This was not a maybe danger. This was not a potential time of danger. The truth of the matter was that Samson could very well perish had things gone the way that the Philistines had planned. Now, in such a time, when there's a need for a great deliverance and there needs to be a putting aside of the enemy, what would we look for from the Lord? You know, sometimes when we get ourselves in the situations where things are tight and we'd have to say our situation is dire, we would say, what I need is an Elijah-like fire from God. That's what I'm looking for. Just think about it. Wouldn't it have been much easier perhaps for Samson in this whole situation had God come down the way that he did for Elijah there on Carmel? Boom. There they are. All done away with. He's delivered. You understand, the Lord seldom does that, although that is what we would like. But I say here, the Lord gave him a deliverance that was every bit as real and every bit as effective as if he had done what he did for Elijah on Carmel. The Lord gave him an answer. The Lord gave him a jawbone. You know, somehow this does not seem to equate. And if you were considering, you know, prophets being equal, you would say, this does not seem, Elijah got fire, Samson got a jawbone. This does not seem to be quite equated between the two. God gives an answer to his people in need. What is that answer? It may not be just exactly what you would think or what you would like, but it is what you need that the Lord gives. And I say, no matter what the situation is of your up close and personal need, if that's the way you want to put it, the Lord has given you the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has given you the name and the finished work of the Lord Jesus. I say this is an essential provision. Now the question would be, why? Why is it that the gospel, that message of the gospel, is to us an essential provision? Well, you think. What is the gospel? What does it bring to you? Does it not speak of your peace with God? If you are at peace with God, is not God then for you? There was another man who was in a very dire straits who made a conclusion. If God be for me, do you know the last half of that? Who then can be against me? 600 Philistines. What does that matter? Who can be against me? Child of God, if you are at peace, what can be against you? But But surely when David said that, he didn't mean my sins. Surely he didn't mean shame and guilt and all the other things that come. Surely he didn't mean the physical needs of this world. He just meant the enemy. Well, no. I will put it in this little vein. Everything that stands against you as a result of the curse. If God is for you, what is it of the curse that can stand against you? But I would also say this. In the gospel, we have presented to us the means through which there is the removal of every issue that would hold back the hand of God from helping His people. All that stands against me, the handwriting of ordinances, as Paul says, they're all dealt with by our God. Every single sin, every single issue that holds back the hand of God from doing a mighty work to help me is removed. I also say this. It is an essential provision because the gospel speaks of that covenant relationship that exists with God as the foundation of our expectation from deliverance. You have been given a promise. You have been given a covenant that your God will be to you a God and that He will arise and help. May I put it to you even more succinctly? What is the essential benefit of the gospel? I say it as this. You have been given Jesus Christ. You have been given the Lord Himself. The Lord is our inheritance. The Lord is our portion. The Lord is that which we find given to us and the gospel preaches to us over and again. I say the Lord has given you in the message of the gospel that you can take to yourself, you can hold it, you can read it, you can believe it. I say that all that is delivered to us as the part of the gospel is reflective of the gift that God has given in us in His Son. Or as John says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Gave. That just means that He sent Him, does it not? Oh, I think it's much more than that. He gave as a possession, as a rightful possession. I am Christ's and He is mine. Because of this, I have all things. You say, really? Doesn't that meet the message of Paul in Romans chapter 8? If God spared not His own Son, but freely offered Him up, how shall He not also with Him give us, what? All things. All that I need is found in Jesus Christ. All the provision, all the helps are mine because of Christ. And I say to us, we have been given the gospel. I can take that gospel and I can lay that promise of God against every need I have. I can lay it against any foe that would arise against me, and I find my answer because I find there the Lord Jesus undertaking for me. His was a time of dire straits. And I will say this too, that as we look at Samson's situation, we will see that it was a time of little resource, at least by the estimation of the world. There was nothing at hand that would be a conventional means of help. Here he was with the Philistines. They had his hand bound. They took away all things that would possibly be a weapon except this part of a dead animal that was laying over there. All conventional means of help were removed, so that it may have been the conclusion of many of us as we would look at this situation had we been in Samson's case. I'm going to say that all night long here, so just bear with me. If I ever say Solomon, you know who I'm talking about. It may have been the conclusion of any of us that we would say, I can't see how I'm going to be helped here. You know what? Men have always made this their estimation of the gospel. How does that help you? How does that help you? I mean, really, the gospel only is that single word that tells you, men say, how you are to believe and how you get to heaven, how you are saved. And that's it. No, sir. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is that message that tells me, again, that I am Christ's and He is mine, and all that is in Him is coming to me. My God shall supply all my need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. But many men will say, no, there's not anything in that. It's always been the conclusion of men. Psalm 3 and verse 2, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I will say, though, this, that no matter what the situation, it was a time of God's provision. Solomon, yeah, boy, oh boy, I'm going to have a time. Samson found at hand the ass's jawbone. Now, what was that? Again, think with me. What was that? Piece of an old dead animal. It was grotesque and laughable. You think about the... You ever seen a donkey as it brays? It makes a funny, funny face. And even when it brays, maybe you've seen it, its old jawbone will just quiver. And it's a ridiculous looking thing. You see this thing braying away, hee-hawing. You think, now, the jawbone, that piece of the face of that funny animal, what good is it in the crisis hour? Yes. What good are dogmas? What good is theology? What good is the provision of the Word of God? Yes. It is what God has given to the pulling down of strongholds. And I say that what the Lord has promised us in the Word of God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, is far more suited for problem solving than anything that man would ever dream up. You could just see, though, some say, no. If I were in Samson's situation, I said it right that time, did you catch that? If I were in Samson's situation, I would need something different. Give me a book on warfare. That'll help me here. As if he had time to sit down and read it before the Philistines were upon him. Or give me a tool that can be sharpened into a spear. Yeah, I'll use that. But an old jawbone? I want you to understand that the jawbone that Samson took was a jawbone that God put right where it was. And even though it appeared unsuitable and laughable to the Philistines, it was exactly what was needed. You know, I was thinking, what would have been like if you were a Philistine to come up against Samson as he was wielding this thing around? Now, you had your shield, and you had your sword, and you had your breastplate and your helmet, and you had all this armor, and you think, surely, you know, this guy's only got a piece of bone. I'm pretty good here because that thing's not going to go through this shield, and it's not going to do anything to me on my helmet. It's just a piece of bone. Let's go, guys. Let's go get this guy. And what's it say? The Lord used that which was esteemed of men as nothing. It went clean through. It crashed through their armor like it was just so much paper. And the Lord allowed him, with the swinging of that bone, to slay 1,000 men. You'd think after 50 or so, they'd come to the conclusion, this is not working. Why are we rushing? Well, you think, well, maybe the thought was, you know what, if we all gang up on him at once and we all rush on him at once, you know, that'll, you know, maybe one or two of us might get it, but we'll have this guy, and that'll be... 1,000 of them said, we're going to get this guy. And God said, no, you're not. This jawbone in the hand of the man anointed with the power of the Spirit of God is not going to be overcome. Hallelujah. You and I ought to say, you know, when we are finding ourselves helped of our God, when the Spirit of God is doing His work in us, the power of the gospel in the man that is anointed with the Spirit of God is that which will not be overcome by the enemy. It will not. So I come to the second point, and that's Samson's fight. You see that in verse 16. And Samson said, with the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps. Many would make much of the strength of Samson as the reason for the victory. In fact, some would probably like to interview him so that they could write a how-to book on defeating your enemies with overpowering strength. Maybe a reviewing of good nutrition that leads to great physical reserves of energy would become a hot topic. Let no glory go to the servant who knew the help of God. May no servant of the Lord ever take to himself the thought, I am due recognition. Look what I have done. Let glory go to God's provision. Again, it was the jawbone that was used to slay the 1,000 of men. Amazing point. It didn't break. Now you think about that. That jawbone did not break. How many shields did it come against? How many weapons did it have to break? But it didn't break. You think, well, what's in a jawbone? Well, it's a piece of bone with some teeth in it. Do you know how easy it is to break a tooth? In the mouth of somebody named Fineout, teeth are very easy to break. I'm hoping that's not the case with my daughters. My sister, when I went to college, why am I telling you this? I don't know. My sister mentioned about a week before I went off to college how that when she turned 20, or 18 to 20, she had a tooth break. First one in her life. I said, great. Thanks, Judy, and I'm glad to know that. I no sooner got on campus at Bob Jones when I was 18 and I had a tooth break, and I was thinking the whole time, if my sister hadn't said anything, I would not be in this predicament. Just about a year ago, I had the same thing happen, and Dr. Haggerty next door was very glad, because I had to give him some business. You think about how easy it could have been for that jawbone to splinter into pieces as it came crashing against steel. But steel gave way. You think about how hard it is to deal with your sin. See, nothing is as strong, nothing is as brutal against my soul as my sin. But we sang this evening about the blood of the Lord Jesus. The blood of the Lord Jesus breaks the power of canceled sin. The provision of God . And not only was it a small matter, but it says that Samson said, heaps upon heaps. Here lay my sins. Here lay my distresses, dead at the feet of Jesus. My third thought, Samson's victory, if you look at verse 17. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking that he cast the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath-Lehi. Samson leaves the scene. There's nobody to stop him. He comes forth like one clapping the dirt from his hands. This was light work indeed. So it proved to be. Okay, I say again, there is a power of God that resides in that old, old story. When I find myself clinging to the old rugged cross, there's a surprising completeness to the victory that I see. I don't have to worry about somebody lingering in the shadows. The victory is complete. The enemy is utterly vanquished. Samson casts the jawbone down and names the place after it. Now, this is not a casting off of the bone, but a testimony that indeed the work is done. And the work that was done should be remembered. Here's a name to remember the provision of God. I say it is the place of the people of God to make much of the blood of Christ when we find that this old story has given us that gracious confidence to come before God and seek our help in time of need. Remember. Remember. Well, one last thought, and then I'm done. I want us to think also on Samson's thirst. Because you see that there was a residing need in Samson. Even after the fight with the enemy was over, there was still something that had to be dealt with. He became thirsty. And as you read from the scriptures here, it was no ordinary thirst. He was desperately thirsty. His tongue was parched. And Samson's argument to God in that hour was, I served, I fought hard, I stood up, I brought deliverance. Now I thirst and I'm going to die. You know, there's a little bit of a similarity between Samson and Elijah after all. Lord, I've done this great thing and I only am left, and now they seek after my life to take it away. Let me just die. You wonder about the sense of what Elijah said. You know, sometimes men that are filled with self-pity don't make a whole lot of sense. He says, they're going to take away my life. They're going to kill me, so let me die. What? Wait a minute. They're going to kill you, and you don't want them to kill you, so die before they have the chance to kill you so that you'd be dead, and you would be dead in either case. So how does this make any sense to what you're saying here? Samson's argument, I'm going to die. Again, this one point reaffirms that the glory of the victory should not be viewed as being in the hand of Samson, but in the hand of God. Samson had to confess at the end of it all, he was not all sufficient for his need. You and I very often find our souls and our hearts parched and thirsty. The condition comes from fighting. The condition comes from enduring. Hardness as a good soldier. It comes from us doing what is right. Sometimes we become thirsty and parched. It can come for other reasons too. But notice what happens. The same source of deliverance that allowed Samson to vanquish the Philistines became the source of his refreshment as well. That which has been our deliverance from our sin and our enemy is still the source of our heart strength and refreshment. The gospel is not only our defense in the hour of our battle with the devil and sin, it is also the source of the refreshment of our souls. The man who meditates and keeps his heart on what Jesus Christ has done for him at Calvary will be a man that is not overcome by the thirst, or by that which he finds himself enduring as he waits on the Lord. It says that water came out of the jawbone. Now, what would you have to say about that? Well, maybe that the water had been there before and had given one strength from that. Well, maybe. But it was put there of God. It says it was new. Well, that simply means that the jawbone was full of water when it says it was a new jawbone. I simply make this point, that what the Lord provided for his deliverance, the Lord provided for his sustenance. That which you have been given in Christ is that which will keep your hearts and minds. Doesn't Paul say that? It'll keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We may not see how we could be given water for our souls from the gospel, but it is the way that the Lord comes and refreshes us and causes us to be able to be comforted within. The Lord touches that message with the power of heaven. It flows to us. It causes our souls to know the water that refreshes and comforts. We might just ask ourselves as we finish this time tonight, do we battle? Do we thirst? Do we have needs of soul? Do we have a time or a situation that would be considered dire? Again, my point to you is this. You have been given the provision of your God. What are you going to find to meet the need of your heart and your soul? It is what God gives. And God has given us the Lord Jesus and the message of his finished work. That to us is that which satisfies. Well, may the Lord be pleased to encourage us and pleased to bless us from the word tonight. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, now we do pray that thou wilt take this simple picture, a picture of the provision of our God, and we pray that thou wilt allow it to preach to our hearts, that even though in the eyes of men what you provide seems to be of no worth, of no help, Lord, we know that in the hand of our God and in the hand of the Spirit of God, it is exactly what we need. Lord, we pray that thou wilt make that gospel precious. We pray that thou wilt prove it powerful. We pray that thou wilt let us even find the refreshments of our hearts this night as we consider what it is that our God has given us in the Lord Jesus. Bless now this word. Continue with us as we go from this place. Lord, I pray that thou wilt keep thy hand on these who are thine own. And Lord, allow them to walk with thee and know the goodness of the Lord in these days that lie ahead. And this we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.